to 1 Kings chapter 19 for just a minute, and then get ready to turn over to the book of John. Really, the book of John is our key text this morning. John chapter 10 we'll be looking at in just a moment. Last week, I preached a message about all of the voices we hear and how they can have an impact in our lives. And we kind of pulled our text from 1 Kings 19, but I just wanted to give that last verse that we talked about last week. It's 1 Kings 19 and verse 13. And it says, when Elijah heard it, that still small voice of the Lord, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. John, turn this down just a hair, please. It's ringing. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So Elijah heard that voice of God. And again, last week we talked about all these voices that we hear. We said that the voices that we hear speak into our lives, they can be very powerful at times. We also said that they can be so powerful that they can take the place of that which God wants to speak to us. We were talking in our little devotional time after our worship practice, and Jessica said that there's a lady that she knows who is a Christian, and she told her the other day that she had been signed up and been listening to a psychic tell her things. But here's what got me about this statement. She told Jessica that the reason that she got hooked up with the psychic is she said, I just couldn't hear from God, so I thought I would try a psychic. Voices that speak into our lives can be very powerful. And so now here's somebody, and this is just one example. I mean, all of us can fall into that place where voices start speaking into our lives. Whether it's a psychic or not, it doesn't matter. And we looked at Elijah and we saw how voices had begun speaking into his life and really had led him to a bad place, right? We talked about these voices real quickly. The voices within. We said they're the voices that come from our own thoughts, and they're often filled with fear, doubt, and improper perspective. These voices, we said, can sometimes take on a false humility. It sounds right, but keeps us from walking in the destiny and strength that God has for us. Number two, we said last week, the voices without. Those are the voices that originate from others and that sometimes initiate or help reinforce the negative voices that are already coming from within us. The problem, we said, with these voices is that they don't see things from God's perspective. They see things from man's perspective. And we said that these voices are filled with a lack of compassion and understanding, a worldly perspective, selfishness, self-serving criticism, misinformation, ignorance, bias, and even hate. And then we talked about the voices from below. Those are the voices, we said, that come straight from the pit of hell. Our enemy, we said, is real, and he has a voice. That's why he's called the father of lies. We said that he and his minions deceive, they manipulate, they malign the truth to fit their purposes. They sow doubt and fear. Their goal is to steal and kill and destroy. But then we took a look at the voices from above. We said Elijah had heard those voices from within. He heard voices from without, and he even heard voices from below. But it was time that he hear the voices from above. We said the voices from above are the truths that are spoken to us from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We said that those voices will always tell us the truth. They cannot lie and would never deceive us. Now let's turn over to John chapter 10 for a moment this morning and look at three verses. First of all, John chapter 10 and verse 3. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then in verse 4 we continue, and when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So in these two verses, we've already seen that his sheep hear his voice, and his sheep follow him and respond to that voice. And then finally in verse 27, he reiterates, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So it kind of wraps it up in this verse. It tells us what it's all about. Hearing the voices that come from above, hearing God's voice, and then following that voice. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Now, we spent some time talking about the things that we hear from the voices that come from above. And I want to reiterate that because they're so important. Things like, I created you, I love you, I have a purpose for you, I will forgive you, I will restore you, I will heal your past and give you a future. You are my son, my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I am with you always. You are not alone. There are many others going through the same trials you are, and some have it worse than you. I'm not done with you. My ways are right and good and bring blessing to your life. I am for you, not against you. You are an overcomer. Nothing can separate you from my love. You can do anything because I will give you strength. I will go with you and lead you in the way you should go. With me, all things are possible. So those are some of the things that we hear from the voices above. But I want to ask you this morning, are you hearing from God? Are you hearing that voice? Now, Elijah, we saw the process that he went through, and the process of the wind and the earthquake and the fire, representative, we said last week, of those other voices that speak into our lives. But then the still small voice, and when he heard that, he stepped out and he heard the voice of God. And that voice gave him direction. It gave him perspective that came from above. Now, we also said last week that not every voice from within and from without are negative voices. In other words, some of the voices from within and without, they can be positive. But we said we must be sure that they are in line with the voice of God in order for us to accept them. So if you have voices that are coming from within, voices that are coming without, and they don't line up with God's word, and they don't line up with what God is speaking to you, then we need to throw those voices out. And that's why this testimony Jesse was sharing is so vivid, and I asked her if I could share that this morning, because basically what somebody has said is, I can't hear God's voice, so I would rather go outside and let those voices speak into my life. And again, I think we're all guilty of doing that. We may not reach out to a psychic, but we're all guilty of letting those other voices begin to guide us and lead us, even when those voices are not in line with what God's word says or what God himself would speak to our hearts. So I think it's important that we learn to listen to God. And that's what I wanted to kind of follow up this morning. We also said that not every voice from above will be gentle, will it? So if that's the way you're gauging whether or not God speaks to you, it sounded kind of harsh. Well, sometimes God needs to be direct with us, doesn't he? Sometimes he needs to convict us. Sometimes he needs to correct us. Sometimes he needs to discipline us. You have a heavenly Father that cares for you. And because he cares for you, yes, sometimes he's going to speak words that maybe you don't like. We talked about that in our devotional this morning too. The good and the bad news. We always talk about the good news. I told the worship team, I know I've shared this before, but the very first interview that we ever went to as a couple for a senior pastorate position, a little church in a rural town in Kansas, and sat at a table, long table, it seems like it was like 3 miles long now, thinking back on it. This young couple, just married, not very long, and we're staring down at the end of this table at these older guys, just with the sternest looks on their faces as possibly could be. And one guy at the center and the other guys around and began this interview process. And they led with this question that still just circulates in my mind today. And we're very serious with their question. And it was this: do you preach the good news or the bad news? And they were heading somewhere with this. Basically, what I felt they were wanting some assurances is that I was going to come in and not not preach convicting messages, not condemn people, not preach, you know, things that were harsh, but preach good news. And so my answer to them was, well, I preach the good news, but if you're not saved, there's a lot of bad news in there. Right? Because in order to get to the good news, you have to hear the bad news. The bad news is, I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we're not confronted with that bad news, there is no good news, friends. So sometimes the voices that we hear from above contain a little bit of bad news for us. Things like, hey, why are you doing that? Hey, I love you, but are you ever going to talk to me? Are you going to get in a relationship with me? Are you going to confess your sins so that I can forgive your sins? Are you going to forsake your old lifestyle and start turning to me and walking in the righteousness that I want to bestow upon you? Right? Come on. We've got to learn to listen to God. I do believe God speaks. I believe that any child of God that wants to hear the voice of God can hear the voice of God. There's no doubt in my mind that you can. There's no reason to turn to other voices. Because God is speaking. He's speaking loud and clear. But sometimes all we hear is the earthquake, the wind, and the fire, and not that still small voice. So how do we learn to listen to the voice of God? And let me share four things with you this morning. They're in your notes. Number one is this. It begins with the desire to hear. The desire to hear. If I'm going to learn to listen to the voice of God, I need to have a desire within me to hear. There are three factors that determine our desire to hear. The first is faith. To believe that we can hear from God is first and foremost to believe in a real and present God who interacts with His creation. So that's where our desire begins. If we have no faith that God is real, that he is a God who speaks, that He is a God who interacts with His creation. If we don't at least have that basic faith in our lives, we won't desire to hear Him, because we won't even believe that He wants to speak. See, it begins with believing that God is real. How many believe God is real today? How many believe that He's a living God? How many believe that God still speaks today?
Amen.
Amen. We got a little bit less each time. Yeah, He does. He didn't just speak to a few people early on. He still speaks today. And I know I get people tell me all the time, well, I can't hear God speak to me. You can. You can learn to listen to the voice of God. He's speaking, but you need to learn to listen. And that begins with a desire to hear. So we start with going back to the very beginning, the basics. Do I believe that God exists? Do I believe that He's real? Do I believe that He's a living God who still interacts with His creation today? Yeah. Well, if He interacts with us, that means He must be able to speak to us, right? Otherwise, He's a dead God. He's not really real. So do I have faith to believe that God is a real God who interacts with His creation? It's believing these two things. It's believing that God wants to and will speak to us. I think that's in your notes this morning. Put those two words in. It's believing that God wants to and will speak to us. So the faith part of desiring to hear God says that, number one, I believe that He wants to speak to me. And I don't put it off third person. Don't say, oh, I believe God wants to speak to some people. No, your faith has to be that I believe God wants to speak to me. That's what we're starting with. Do you believe this morning that God really wants to speak to you? Now, some would say, well, why would God want to speak to me? That's how much He loves you. See, God is a God who has individual relationship with people. He doesn't just have corporate relationship with people. He has one-on-one relationship with individuals. He created you uniquely, and he has a unique relationship with you. It's always through Jesus Christ, but he has a unique relationship with you because you are unique. Amen? He wants to speak. That's where our faith begins. God, you want to speak to me. And every day that we get up, we need to understand that today is a day that God wants to speak to us. Do you believe it this morning? Come on, somebody give me a smile or something if you believe that God wants to speak to you. He does. In fact, I would go so far as to say that he wants to speak to you every day of your life. And secondly, believing that not only does he want to, but that he will. See, when, let's go back to Elijah for a minute. When this whole thing began with Elijah, it began with God preparing him, saying, Elijah, what are you doing here in this cave, all depressed, ready to give up on life, scared to death, running from Jezebel? What are you doing here? And he says, God tells him, he says, get up. Because I'm going to speak to you. You've got to believe today that God not only wants to, but he will, without a doubt, speak to you. The second factor that determines our desire to hear is hunger. Hunger. In Psalm 63, David writes, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." See, I believe that's the kind of hunger that we need that will cause us to begin to listen to God. Why did David hear from God so well? Because there was a deep hunger in his life to hear what God wanted to say. You gotta begin to desire to hear from God. Now, it begins with the faith that believes that he wants to and will speak to you, but then we got to begin cultivating a hunger in our lives. Get hungry for God to speak to you. See, that's one of the great things about the Protestant Reformation is this understanding that God didn't just speak to one or two high up people, but he would speak to common man. We could all read the Bible. We could all listen for the voice of God. You know, and that's not to do away with authority within the church, but listen, God wants to speak directly to you. He doesn't just need to use me to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. I'm not your authority. God is your authority. You need to listen to him. Get hungry to hear from God. Say what David said. God, I thirst for you. God, there's so much dryness and there's so much voidness of your presence and your word in the world and the culture of the world. I thirst for you and your voice and what you're saying. That's also why I love Matthew 5:6. This says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." What does that tell us? It says, get hungry for the things of God. Get hungry for the voice of God. So I said three factors. There's faith, hunger determines our desire to hear, and then finally, a negative factor, fear. Fear is a factor in our desire to hear. It's not a positive factor in our desire to hear, but it's a negative. It does impact our desire to hear. You say, well, what are you talking about? Listen, some people don't want to hear from God because they've already imagined what he will say. Now, this is true for both believers and non-believers. Some people don't want God to speak. They have no desire to hear God because they've already imagined in their hearts what God's going to say. And they don't like what he's going to say, so why would I want to hear it, right? Or Here's another fear factor that comes in and kind of quenches our desire to hear. or they're afraid that they will be held accountable to the directives of a real and living God. You see, it's a powerful thing. I kind of cheated and I asked you a question earlier. Do you believe God is a real and present God who wants to interact with his creation? Everybody raised their hand and said yes. The problem with saying yes to that is that now you are accountable to that living, present God. Now you must stand face to face with God, and you must talk to him and give an account of who you are and your life and what you've done with Jesus Christ. See, some people are afraid that if they hear the voice of God and they admit that God is real and that he does speak and that they've been hearing him, then they have to live up to what God says, because who can refuse God, right? I mean, if you were to right now visibly see God and audibly hear him speak to you, how many of you would fall down on your face, and how many of us would probably have something to repent of at that moment? You know, how many of us would say, wow, God, I got a lot to live up to now. Wow. That's exactly what the children of Israel did when they came to the mountain of God. God spoke to them, audibly spoke to them. There was rumblings, there was thunder, there was lightning, there was fire on top of the mountain, and the voice of God spoke to them, and he gave them the Ten Commandments. And he began to speak to them his truths. And then when Moses came down, the people of God said something that's always interested me. In Exodus chapter 20, beginning in the 18th verse, it says, when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, here was their answer, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die. I said, we don't want to listen to God. We would rather you tell us what God's saying. Let's put a middleman. And I know I've said this before, but I think this is true of the scripture. Can anybody guess why they would want a middleman? Because Moses wasn't as terrifying as God. And it was a lot easier to disobey Moses than to disobey a living, present God who had all of that power and authority. I don't know, but how about you? Anybody ever say this when you're a kid? We don't hear a whole lot of it in today's generation. But anybody ever say this, you know, well, or have your mom say something, you know, when your dad gets home? Anybody ever heard that phrase? You know, when your dad gets home. Okay, and the reason why we came up with that phrase is because there was a certain fear that dads instilled, you know, and so it's like, you know, yes, I might get punished from mom, but I don't want to get punished from dad. You know, I'd much rather get on mom's bad side, and didn't mean that mom wouldn't spank me, or, you know, but I'd much rather get on mom's bad side than dad's. Now, it's not true for everybody, but in a lot of cases, that was true, you know. So when dad got home, it was best behavior. Well, this is what we do with God, and it impacts our desire to hear. Fear, in a negative way, can impact our desire. We start listening to the voice of the enemy, which says, look, God's going to kill you. God hates you. God's going to do away with you. You unbelievably sinful person. You're never going to stand in the presence of God. And fear comes in, and it's like, I don't want to hear from God then, because if I hear from God, then I'm accountable to God, directly to God. I want you to see what Moses said. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. What Moses was saying is that, no, you really, that's not a good thing. You need to hear from God. Because when we hear from God, this active relationship in the fear of God helps us keep from sinning. If the only voice we're hearing is, listen, it's a lot easier to lie to me than it is to lie to God, right? See, you can come and sit in church and smile at me and say, hey, I'm living the life, I'm a good Christian, I'm doing what I need to do. And I don't know. As far as I know, that's 100% true. But you can't lie to God, can you? I say all of that to bring it back and say that we need a desire to hear God. But you're going to have to get past these three things in order for that desire to really exist in your life. You're going to have to get past that factor of faith. You're going to have to get past that factor of hunger. Do I really hunger and thirst to hear from God? And you're going to have to get past that factor of fear that says, I would rather not hear from the Lord because then I'll have to be accountable to what he tells me. And I'm here to tell you this morning, don't let any one of those factors kill your desire to hear. Believe in a God. Hunger for his active voice in your life. And don't fear what he has to say to you. Because even if he has something to say to you that may seem a little harsh, God always packs in that his love and his authority to overcome. See, God never asks you to do something that he will not give you the power and authority to do. Now that would be an evil taskmaster if God said, I'm going to tell him something, but watch this. They'll never be able to do it. So God came up with a solution. He said, I'll do it for him. I'll send my son Jesus to live a righteous life, to live a holy life, to die on the cross for their sins. I will send him to live the life that I want them to live and that I'm asking them to live. And then when they enter into a relationship with him, he's going to come into them and give them the authority by the power of the Holy Spirit to become and be the people that I'm asking them to be. God will never ask you to do something and be something that it is impossible for you to do. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. Is there a desire to hear in your life from God? Talking about learning to listen for the voice of God. Is there a desire to hear? Because if the desire is not there, then you will never hear from God. Number two, turn the speakers on. All right? You got to turn the speakers on. How many of you have a sound bar at home? Some kind of a sound bar at home. All right, we have a sound bar that goes with our TV, and so it's hooked up in such a way that it has separate power than the TV has, right? And so oftentimes we'll flip on the TV, but we'll forget, or we don't have the remote to the sound bar, or nobody's walked up and physically turned it on. So the TV will come on, but the speaker's not on. So you get to experience what people who are deaf experience. You see the pictures, right? But there is no sound. The only way that we're going to truly listen to the voice of God and hear God, you got to turn the speakers on, folks. Now, I want to use that illustration this morning to talk to you about a couple of things. There's a difference between being deaf and blind. I know that sounds obvious, but follow me for just a minute. I don't know why we would ever play this game, but have any of you ever, it's not really a game, but have any of you ever thought to yourself, well, if I had to either be deaf or blind, which one would I choose? And hopefully none of us will ever have to choose that. Although the older we get, we kind of are forced into both of those categories, right?
we start losing our eyesight and we start losing our hearing. But if I had to be one or the other, which would it be? So real quickly, how many would choose to be blind instead of deaf? Have you ever thought about it? One. How many would choose to be deaf rather than blind? Okay. Okay. All right. You got it right, Patrice. Everybody else got it wrong. No, I want to think about that in relation to what I'm talking about this morning, about turning the speakers on and are listening to the voice of God. Now, if you are deaf, let's think about that picture scenario. If you are deaf and you're looking at a TV and the sound is on, you can see the pictures, but you cannot hear the truth of the content of the audio. Right? And so you're going to do what a lot of people do anyway. You're going to make up your own script to whatever you see. We've actually played that game in youth groups over the years. Like put a clip up there, put an advertisement up there, but you have to make up the words to it. You know, it's going to play. You have to make up the storyline of to what's going on. So if you're deaf, you can see the pictures, but you cannot hear the truth of what's being said, assuming truth is coming from those pictures. But you can't hear it. So you can make up any story you want to, right? Oh, look, and based on the pictures, if we had 20 different people play this game, we'd get 20 different ideas of what they thought was happening in that situation. Correct? Yeah. One person might say, oh, no, I see this, you know, and they're fighting. The other person says, no, that's not what's happening at all. They're just very passionately in love with each other. We make up all kinds of stories. But chances are that it would be far from the truth. Now I understand you say, yeah, but I learned to read lips, and so I get, okay, throw out that. I'm not talking about learning to read lips. I'm saying there's no closed caption for you to read. There's no nothing. It's just pictures. No audio. Chances are the script that you made up would be pretty far from the truth. Now, on the other hand, if you're blind but could still hear the audio, what would happen? Well, you would still make up images in your mind, right? I can remember still as a kid doing this because they'd send us to bed early and they'd be watching some movie out, and I'm like, I'd be so mad because how come I have to go to bed but everybody else gets up to stay to hear this movie? I can remember one in particular. I don't know why it sticks in my mind. Anybody remember that old TV movie that came out years ago, Towering Inferno, years and years ago? Anybody remember that? That's like an old disaster movie, one of those genre of disaster movies, you know, like the airplane movies, and you know, that came. Anyway, I remember sitting out there in my bedroom, and I didn't go to sleep, but I could hear the audio from that, and so I'm making up pictures in my mind. The other place we've done this, when we would go on vacation, used to, when we first started, we had this little portable TV. It's only about this big, and it plugged into the lighter, but it was a VHS, and we set it down on the floorboard, pointed up, and so the kids in the back seat could put their VHS tapes in, and they could listen to it. And so I don't know how many shows we listened to, and all I could hear was the audio. I'm driving down the road, and my mind would always make up these pictures. Now, when I would pop in the movie later on, when I got a chance to see it, I would always kind of be amazed. Wow, that's not how I pictured it at all. That's not what I thought that guy looked like. That's not what I thought that scene was, right? But my point is that what I was hearing was still truth. So I didn't get anything wrong in the sense of the storyline. I still had truth because I could hear what was being said. And it didn't change the story at all. My images might be a little bit different, but the story itself didn't change. The truth of the content that I heard was still there. So what I'm saying is that there's an importance of us hearing from God. You know, you can go to church and you can see how other people live their Christian lives, and you can kind of see how Christians are acting, but unless you're hearing from God, unless you as an individual are hearing truths from the throne of God, you're probably going to get things wrong. You need to be hearing truth. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes, in order to hear the voice of God, see, when you turn the speakers on, what I'm talking about is getting into that position where you can hear God. And one of the ways that we do it is we need to turn other things off. We have this never-ending battle at our house with the TV being on and then my daughter grabbing the iPad or something and watching some show on the iPad. And invariably, she doesn't want to go in her bedroom watch. She wants to come out and sit among us and have her speakers turned up. And so my ears are trying to discern between the stupid YouTube video that she's watching and the program that I'm trying to see and all this noise. Sometimes the only thing that we can do is shut off the other noises. Sometimes we don't hear from God. It's not that we're not hearing from God, but there's so many other noises going on, it's hard to distinguish what God is trying to speak to us. You know, that's one of the important reasons why we take kids up to camp. Because, and camp's loud, by the way. If you've never been to a youth camp, a kids camp, you come back half deaf and with no voice because they encourage screaming and yelling and all that kind of stuff. But spiritually, one of the reasons why we take them to that place is because it shuts out some of the other noises. And it gets them into a place where they can turn the speakers on and listen for what God is saying. So what are the speakers? What are the speakers? Well, I'm going to start with probably the least likely way of hearing God, but it's still a way, which is a supernatural manifestation of God's voice. I mean, that's like when Jesus was baptized and the heavens opened and an audible voice spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So that's one of the ways, is to hear the supernatural manifestation of the voice of God. What other speakers do we have in our lives? So one of the loudest speakers and clearest speakers that we have is the written word of God. See, that's God's voice. But you got to turn on the speaker. In other words, You got to open up the Bible. You got to read it. You got to study it. You got to memorize it. You meditate. All of those things, when we read, study, memorize, meditate on God's holy word, we are listening to the voice of God. That's one of the reasons why I encourage people, don't just open up your Bible and immediately go to what the study notes say or the commentary says, because the commentary and the study notes, while they may be helpful and they're good, that's not God's voice. That's man's voice interpreting God's voice to you. You just need to hear God's voice sometimes. So let there be times when you're not just reading the study notes, but that you're just reading the Word of God. That's why I like listening to the Word. Then I'm not tempted to always drop down and see what does this guy say about this passage. And now, don't get me wrong, there's a place for study, but when I'm talking about just listening to the voice of God, listen to the Word of God. If you can't concentrate and read it, then put it on an audio CD, put it on an MP3 player, do something, but listen to the voice, because you're hearing God's voice. And He will speak to you from His Word. Why? Because the Word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 said, "It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." You can learn to listen to the voice of God by turning the speakers on, by getting that Bible out and using it. Thank you. Turn the speakers on. What are the speakers? Well, how about Bible study with other believers? See, Bible study with other believers is a speaker for hearing the voice of God. But you got to turn it on. In other words, you got to be in Bible study with other believers. It's not the only speaker that we have. I already told you the most powerful speaker is the Word of God itself. Getting into the Word and listening to the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word, meditating on the Word, memorizing the Word. But Bible study with other believers will allow you to hear some things that maybe you're not hearing on your own. See, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And when we turn that speaker on, we get a new dimension of the voice of God speaking into our lives. I'm talking about the speakers. The speakers. What are they? Turn these speakers on. There's another speaker that works pretty well too. And that's the preaching of the Word. Listening to God-anointed preaching and exposition of the Word of God. And you certainly have no shortage in today's world of being able to turn that speaker on. You know, even if you don't like me and don't want to come to my church, it doesn't matter. There's plenty of God-anointed expositors of the Word of God out there. And I say God anointed because you don't want just any old buddy that's preaching untruths, but you want people who are preaching the Word of God. That's like turning on the voice of God. I love it when I have an opportunity to go sit under God anointed preaching. I'm telling you, that's one of the best places that I hear from God. I really do. Turn on those speakers. How about this speaker? You want to listen to the voice of God? Turn on the speaker of worship and prayer. You want to hear God's voice? Put on some worship music or come to an anointed worship service and just begin to worship. And God speaks through that. He ministers to us and we hear the voice of God through the song and the music and what the Holy Spirit is speaking in those times. You want to hear the voice of God? Turn on a speaker that gets very little use. This speaker is like cassette players in the world of digital audio. Anybody still have cassette players? A few of you? Yeah. This is like that. This is what I compare it to because this is how little use it gets in today's world. Turn on the speaker of prayer. I'm talking about listening to the voice of God. You want to hear the voice of God? Turn the speakers on. And I'm just telling you the truth. These are speakers that if you will turn them on, if you will use them, if you will utilize them, you will indeed hear the voice of God coming through loud and clear. Amen. And prayer is just one of those speakers. But if we never pray, if we never enter into communication and communion with God, then the likelihood of us hearing from them is small. So if we're not turning any of these speakers on, listen, if we're not reading the written word, if we're not studying the Bible with other believers, if we're not listening to preaching of the word, and we're not praying, is it any wonder that everybody says, I'm not hearing the voice of God? Of course you're not hearing the voice of God because the speakers are off. But no. It's much easier to dial up a psychic and ask them what they have to say. Turn on the speakers. Let me give you one more before I move on. And I believe in this with all my heart, and that's why you see me on many occasions give an altar call after a message. Because I believe the altar is a place where the voice of God speaks. And if you haven't tried turning that speaker on, I challenge you. The next altar call that's given, even if it has nothing to do with you, just get up and go down to the altar anyway. Because you're going to turn on the speaker of God. And at an altar, I don't know how many times in my life, whether it's in a corporate setting or just by myself, but when I've just come to an altar, I've heard the voice of God. Voices. The desire to hear. How do we learn to listen to God? The desire to hear. Number two, turn the speakers on. Number three, there's got to be a willingness to listen. There's got to be a willingness to listen. See, there's a big difference between hearing something and listening to something. How many know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And if you don't, and you're a parent, you should know what I'm saying. There's a big difference between your kids hearing you and listening to you. Thank you. There should be a lot more amens than that. Because there's a lot more parents in here than that. And I know. And my parents probably said the same thing about me. You know? This problem also with wives sometimes too. But boy, I know what I need to do to get the good amens in this church. Wow. No. There's a difference between hearing and listening, right? big difference. There needs to be not only a desire to hear the voice of God, but there needs to be a willingness of your heart to listen to what He has to say. Listening, follow me for just a minute. Listening implies concentration. Listening implies attention. Focus on what is being heard. And it also implies that there is understanding. Listen, a willingness to listen implies that there is understanding of what is spoken. So one of the tools, you probably use this too. I've heard teachers use this, parents use this. It's a simple little tool in teaching that we say, would you repeat back to me what you just heard? And that gives the teacher, the adult, a comprehension of whether or not that student or that child understood what was being said. Because as you know, a lot gets lost in translation, so to speak. So willingness to listen implies that there is understanding. Now, sometimes it takes work to get to that place of understanding. I got to admit to you that there have been times when I felt like I heard the voice of God, when I've said, God, I have no idea what you're asking me to do or why you're asking me to do that. Right? But there's a willingness to listen, to be attentive, to concentrate. Now, sometimes, we talked about this a little bit already, but sometimes we willfully and purposefully refuse to listen because we don't like what is being said. So we just choose to close our ears to it. Thus, the term that we have created called selective hearing. Do you practice selective hearing with God? Oh, I like that, Lord. And then the stuff, you know, the challenging us a little bit. Huh? I didn't think you were saying anything. Do you practice selective hearing with God, friends? There's a passage in Acts 28, verse 24 says, some were convinced by what he said. This is Paul, by the way. This is when he came to Rome, and the first place that he went in Rome, he first spoke to the Jewish believers. That was his practice. He first spoke to the Jewish believers. And so it says, the Jewish culture. And so it says some were convinced by what he said, by what Paul said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. So Paul says this: the Holy Spirit spoke truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. So Paul says in that verse that the whole reason that he turned to the Gentiles was because the Jewish people refused to listen. At least the Gentiles were ungodly, they were unsaved, they were heathens, but he found a willingness to listen to the gospel. We have to be willing to listen. I found this quote by Andre Womack a little while ago. Andrew Womack says, most people are imploring God to speak when it's our hearing that needs to be adjusted. Anybody have hearing aids out there? Do you have to adjust them from time to time? Well, our spiritual hearing needs to be adjusted so that there's a willingness to listen to what God's saying. Number four, I close with this. How do we learn to listen to God? Desire to hear, turn the speakers on, a willingness to listen. And number four, aiming for obedience. He says, is that really important to be able to hear from God? Don't I get to hear from God and then I can decide whether or not that I'm going to obey? I think this is a part of the process. If there's not, and notice I chose my words carefully. I didn't say that we are perfectly obedient. I wish that we were perfectly obedient, but I stand here as one telling you that I'm not perfectly obedient to the voice of God. If I were, I would be Jesus. I would be the Savior. I'm not. I fail. I fall short. I need His grace because I don't always obey the voice of God. I should, but I'm still a work in progress. But our aim should be for obedience. Right? What's that saying? If you aim for nothing, you're going to hit it? Listen, if you don't at least aim for obedience, you're never going to be obedient. And so our aim should be for obedience to the voice of God. Go back to the passage in 1 Kings and read again, as I encouraged you last week to do this, but I'm going to tell you again. Go back and read the rest of the story, 1 Kings 19. And after the voice of God spoke and God gave those truths to Elijah, there was a lot of directives there. And God said, okay, you're going to go back the way you came. And here's what you're going to do along the way, and here's even what you're going to do afterwards. But here's what I want you to do. And you know what Elijah did? He did it. He did what God told him to do. And that's all I'm telling you. If you really want to hear the voice of God, then aim for obedience. You might fail. You might fall. You might fall a lot of times. So you come back to the throne and you ask for forgiveness and you ask for His grace and His mercy to restore you. You repent of those times when you're not obedient, but your aim should be obedience unto the voice of God. That will open up your ears quicker than anything. But what will shut your ears quicker than anything is a disobedient heart. In Acts 28, again, you heard that verse that I just read. He said they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. And so they're disobedient. Now, as an earthly father, I get frustrated when my kids don't listen. Anybody? And after a while, I want to stop trying to speak to them about certain things because I know it's not going to do any good. Anybody have any relationships like that, you know, where you try to speak, but the person's just not listening? And so after a while, it's just like, why try? And maybe that's not the right attitude to have, and there has to be balance with grace. But really, I mean, why try if they're not going to listen to anything that you have to say? That's why so many times we say, as our kids get older, you know, there comes a point when I've heard Bill say, you know, if they want my advice, I'll give them advice. Otherwise, it doesn't do a whole lot of good to tell them. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen for it. And so I understand that frustration. Why should God, let me ask you a question. Why should God speak to us if we have proven over and over again that we have no intention of obeying his voice? Just a question I want you to think about today. Why should God speak to us as individuals if we have proven over and over and over again that we have no intention of obeying his voice? Say, is there scripture to back that up? Yes, there is. Hebrews chapter 3. Why should God speak to us? Says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those who Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. What I'm telling you is that when we disobey, when we continue to disobey, we start hardening our hearing. We always talk about hardening our hearts, but let's talk about hardening our hearing. You know, one of the reasons you lose hearing is because the inner parts of your ear start to get hard and they don't receive the signals, right? That's why we start to lose our hearing. It starts to dry out, starts to get hard. And it's true spiritually too. And the way to hardness is disobedience. And the more that we disobey, the harder we get. And the harder that we get, the less hearing we get of the voice of God. Now, does that mean we're beyond hope? No. Nobody's beyond hope. There's repentance, forgiveness, and salvation through Jesus Christ, but you're going to have to repent. The other way not to get hard and to hear the voice of God is just aim for obedience. And you may miss it, but at least make that your aim. I want to obey. I want to shoot for what you're telling me, God, even when it's hard. So here's what happens. The more we practice obeying, listen to my words, the more we practice obeying, and it's something we got to practice, what we have already heard, the more we will hear the voice of God. So you want to learn to listen to God? Take inventory of what you've already heard from God and start obeying it. And that's going to open up the door for you to hear the voice of God even more. Stand with me today. Can I give you a 30-day challenge this morning? And I'm not going to ask you to come forward or even raise your hands or sign anything. I just want to present to you a 30-day challenge. So we're starting a new month. So this is a great month. Why not just do it in the month of July? We have 31 days in July. Today's the first, so you can start tomorrow and still get 30 days in. Plus, it's still summertime, and so you don't even have to use the excuse of whatever your excuse is in the fall. I want to give a 30-day challenge for us to listen to the voice of God. For 30 days, I challenge you to listen to God's voice. So here's what my challenge involves. Just take these notes home. Use these 4 points as a part of the challenge. For 30 days, I challenge you to get up each day and just ask God for the faith to believe that He wants to speak to you. Start with that. Doesn't take any longer than that. God, would you give me the faith today to believe that you want to speak to me? And then, in hunger, ask Him to speak to you. Tell Him, say, God, Daddy, I so want to hear from you. Quote that scripture out of Psalm 63 that David said about longing for God. And then ask the Holy Spirit to remove all fear of hearing His voice. That's part one of the challenge. Desire to hear. I challenge you for 30 days, turn on the speakers. Commit, just do this. Commit 5 to 10 minutes of your day to one of those activities that are listed on your notes. And they're there for a reason. 5 to 10 minutes out of your day, commit to turning the speakers on. Whether it's attention to prayer or the reading of God's word or Bible study with other believers, any of those things, just commit to that. Turn the speakers on. Number 3, part of this challenge, stay focused and pay attention to what God is saying to you. Now, some people like to journal. You may not like to do that. But journaling is a great way to preserve what God is speaking to you. You don't have to journal to do it, though. Just pay attention. And we talked about it this morning, but in this challenge, what I'd like for you to do, if you don't like to journal, then do this. Repeat back to God what you heard God speak to your heart. In an audible voice, you might want to do it when you're alone in prayer so that your coworkers don't think you're crazy. But repeat back to God. You know, so let's say you take 5 minutes and you read the Word of God and you've already prayed, God, I want to hear you and I'm asking you for the faith and God, I here it is. I'm committing this to you. And your attention to it, you really read it, you really pay attention to it, and then just repeat back to God. God, so here's God, I hear you saying to me, and then repeat back to God what you feel like He's speaking to you, whether it's prayer or reading or Bible study. Just take a moment, just a moment. Say, God, I felt like you said this to me today. And then finally, if you accept this challenge, ask God for the strength to put it into practice. Before your day's done, before your listening time's finished, just say, God, help me now to put it into practice. Those 4 simple things. A desire to hear, turn the speakers on, a willingness to listen, and an aim for obedience. And if you will do that for 30 days, every day for 30 days, and it should take no more than 10, 15 minutes of your day. Some of you may want to spend longer on it. That's fine. It doesn't make you more righteous than somebody else. Just make a commitment to do it every day. I believe you will hear voice of God, leading and directing, encouraging you, discipling you, strengthening you, changing your life. If you want to make that commitment today, just make it between you and the Lord right now. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you that you do have a voice that speaks to us. Thank you for this wonderful church. Lord, I want them to hear from you like never before. And I don't care at what level that they are at right now, but I ask that, Father, you would increase your voice speaking into their hearts. And may this next 30 days, may those who right now are declaring in their hearts that they want to take up this challenge. Lord, there is no condemnation in you, so we just start it fresh. We celebrated your forgiveness and communion today, so we start with clean hearts and a clear mind that we want to listen to your voice. So I don't know what you're going to speak in these next 30 days, but God, I look forward to the testimony. Help us, Lord, desire to hear. Help us turn on the speakers. Help us be willing to stay focused and pay attention. And please, Holy Spirit, give us the strength to aim for obedience in everything that you teach us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you do me a favor? If you take this challenge, if you do it, would you tell me at the end of the 30 days? Would you just email me, text me, come by the office, grab me at a service and say, Pastor, I did that for 30 days. I did it. And here's what the results were. Would you do that for me? God bless you. Have a wonderful 4th of July week. Stay in touch with the Lord and be blessed.